puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jeanalee.
So I think I know what we're discussing this week.
I hope you do. Because last week, of course, I told our listeners about a three-day adventure I was planning called the Pine to Prairie Relic Run. The idea was we were going to take five old cars and drive from the Ontario border, Pine, to the Saskatchewan border, Prairie, along the original route of the Trans-Canada Highway. But at that time, well, there were questions for which I had no answers. Most notably, will the five cars make it all the way? I'm here to answer some of those questions today.
Well, Gordon, I have to ask you right now, did all the cars make it all the way?
Yes, they did. The five cars, including a 1923 Ford Model T and four Ford Model A's from 1928, 1930, and 1931, all started the drive in the Whiteshell on Monday and drove 545 kilometers across Manitoba to arrive at the Saskatchewan border on Wednesday.
So take us through the trip. Where did you start?
We started at a visitor information center on the Ontario border, and after a short drive on the present-day Trans-Canada Highway, we turned off onto Highway 44. Now, that's an old highway through rolling terrain and forests. There were no shoulders and in fact, few places to pass slow-moving vehicles such as ours. By the time we reached the open highway east of Beausejour, well, let's just say we'd accumulated a huge number of cars and trucks backed up behind us. So to let them pass, we turned onto a service road that, well, in fact, was quite historic. It was the former Trans-Canada Highway. Hadn't been maintained in a while, so it had lots of potholes. But, you know, interestingly, we found that the narrow tires of the old cars handled the bumpy road better than the wider tires of the support vehicles that were accompanying them. We ended the day with a photo session on the steps of the Legislative Building here in Winnipeg. And the weather, oh, it was great. Warm, sunny, pretty much all day.
What about Tuesday?
Well, things didn't go quite as well, weather-wise at least. We had a great send-off from a large group of vintage car enthusiasts in Headingley, and we spent the morning on Highway 26. That's the old Trans-Canada Highway that went north of the Assiniboine River to Portage-la-Prairie. The hairiest part of the trip, I think, was after lunch when we had to drive on a portion of the modern Trans-Canada Highway. Now, when you're driving along at 110 kilometers an hour, you don't really get a sense of the traffic density as much as when it's blasting past you in a slow old car. You know, there seemed to be an endless number of enormous trucks. The weather turned bad as the day wore on, and we drove between Sydney and Carberry in the rain. And, you know, and I thought, oh boy, people are going to get really, really soaked. But, you know, surprisingly, the wind seemed to be in the right direction to keep the rain from soaking the drivers. In fact, the driver of the Model T, which has no windows on the side of the car, said he was fine. By the time we arrived in Brandon, 2.5 hours later than we had predicted, well, the worst of the weather was behind us.
And was Wednesday better?
Oh, it was excellent. There was a few clouds, but not too hot. Wonderful driving weather. The third day's drive was different from the preceding 2 days in that much of it was spent on unpaved roads. They had had not much rain in western Manitoba, so this meant the roads were very dusty, and there were also some really bone-jarring washboards in several places. Our pace was a little slower on the gravel, too, but like all of our other stops along the way, we were greeted so enthusiastically that we simply could not maintain the itinerary that I had planned for us. Our predicted arrival at the Saskatchewan border in the mid-afternoon, well, I was off by a factor of almost 3 hours. We got there at 6:15 in the evening. We lined up the cars for photos at the border crossing of the original Trans-Canada, and then we drove north to an abandoned Saskatchewan Visitor Information Center on the present Trans-Canada Highway, and there we took a whole bunch more photos. Then we went to a Welcome Center and Visitor Information Center in Manitoba. More photos there, and at that point, those who had trailers for their cars loaded them up, and we all went our separate ways, happy in having accomplished our goal.
I'm so glad it all worked out and all the cars made it in one piece. So you said last week that you expected to travel 40 kilometers an hour. Was that the case?
We found that the oldest car, the Model T, was actually capable of much more. So we averaged around 50 kilometers per hour for most of the trip. One of the cars overheated when we exceeded this speed, so that's why we said it tried to keep it under 55. But we were really surprised when we were driving back on the modern TransCanada from the Saskatchewan border to our support vehicle at Elkhorn that the old T got up to 70 kilometers an hour. And, you know, it just ran exceptionally well the whole time. I was amazed.
That's surprising. So did you have any mechanical problems along the way, aside from the slight overheating?
Nothing major. You know, not even a flat tire. I thought for sure we'd get at least a flat tire. You know, some of the cars did need a little tweaking to their brakes, their carburetors. There was one of the cars that had a little bit of a problem with dirt in its gas line. But, you know, all in all, they ran flawlessly. You know, we couldn't have asked for much better performance.
Were there any surprises along the way?
Well, certainly the speed at which with the old cars were able to travel, that was definitely a surprise. But I think the biggest surprise for me was the attention our drive received. People gathered along the roads in towns as we passed through, and whenever we stopped, there were really good-sized crowds. Even on Tuesday, when we ran into bad weather, people came out to see us. That was so gratifying.
That sounds so memorable. Were there any other really memorable moments on the drive?
Well, really, the whole drive was memorable for me. But yes, a few experiences did stand out. A fun moment was in Portage la Prairie, where the five cars went through the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant. I bet those restaurant workers had never seen that before. Between Carberry and Austin, we were joined by Clint Cannon, whose book on the history of the TransCanada Highway was the inspiration for the Relic Run. West of Brandon, we left the modern TransCanada Highway and drove along gravel road number 455 between Kemeny and Griswold. Through rolling hills and colorful fields of yellow canola, the scenery, oh, it was spectacular. One of the drivers remarked that the 50 kilometer an hour speed of these old cars made sightseeing so much more enjoyable. You know, you had time to see things as you passed the various plots along the way. An emotional moment for me was when we gathered the cars at the Saskatchewan border for the photos. You know, I'd not been sure we were going to make it all the way without at least some kind of incident. So I was so happy that the Relic Run had gone so smoothly and that the cars, their passengers, their drivers, and the support people all came through safe and sound.
Well, that begs the question, would you do the Relic Run again?
Well, we learned a lot about what to do and maybe more importantly, what not to do. So I might organize things a little differently if we did the Relic Run another time. I have no immediate plans for one, but, well, who knows what the future may bring.
Now, Gordon, you said that the Relic Run was done as a fundraiser to build a roof over the tree planting car at the Manitoba Agricultural Museum. Was that successful?
Well, we're still doing the final accounting, so I don't have an exact number, but I do know that we raised over $3,000 towards the roof over the tree planting car. But donations are still most welcome, and any listener that may want to help us should go to our website, p2prelicrun.ca, and there's a donate button. All donations will be entered in a draw for a 1926 Manitoba roadmap, a genuine article that shows the highways before the numbering happened. So really a historic map if anybody's interested.
And I'm sure our listeners are very relieved that the cars made it in one piece. So that's great to hear. So what's up for next week?
Well, I've of course just returned from an adventure and I'm already off on another one. Longtime listeners will know about my fascination with Port Nelson, an abandoned seaport on Hudson Bay, and the former fur trade post at York Factory. I've been to these historic sites twice before, and I'm heading back again tomorrow morning. So next Sunday morning, I'll tell our listeners all about my experiences.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago,
That's Gordon Goldsboro with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province. And you can see photos of the abandoned places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical Society website, mhs.ca. Just click on quick links in the top left-hand corner. And once again, the website for the Pine to Prairie Relic Run is p2prelicrun.ca.